Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense. Colt-centric, talk about it often. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Do it big.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back for another show. We've got some interesting stuff for you guys today. We've got some interviews with some of the players, coach, and we're going to get through this a little bit, but I wanted to kind of express a little bit of what we're seeing down there with these guys, because these are three really important. I mean, obviously, everybody wants to hear what Frank Reich has to say. A lot of his focus in the interview was on Andrew Luck and the questions for him as such. But we've got the, you know, the Deion Kane hype that's coming up, and it's really interesting to watch and kind of fun to watch. As you see, it's a more inclusive kind of hype too, folks, because a lot of the comps are to the Duron Carter situation when he was in camp. That's just they really aren't the same thing. They're just not, and I'll explain that here real quick before we get to these, but. What it boils down to, ultimately for me, is that Duron Carter hype was hype off of how his touchdowns were made. I mean, he caught some touchdowns. He caught a couple nice touchdowns throughout that camp in 2015. There was a lot of hype, but we have to remember back the full story, because he was missing easy peasy passes, drops, and there was a different mindset from him in general. From Deion Kane, man, we're seeing a guy who's really eager to get to the next play, to learn. This guy he has excellent body control. We hear about him talking about some of that with his time, from his time with Randy Moss in the off season, and kind of what that taught him. And he's got the body control. He's got the awareness of where he is on the field. He's a guy who will run any route if you ask him to. He understands that you have to be that full competition, that full that everything in a wide receiver. He understands that you can't just be the flashy guy. You've got to be the guy who's coming into each practice session, each drill, ready to impress, ready to work his butt off. And that's ultimately what he brings to the table. He brings that. He's running quality routes. He's working his tail off to do it. He likes running, you know, the different routes. He's running up to the line of scrimmage, guys, in between plays. Like when they're switching from first and second team and they're just doing little quick plays up and down the field, you'll see that Deion Kane, when his name or his team is on the field, man, he is running to the line of scrimmage to be able to be ready to do this next play. It's really interesting, and everybody's doing that, to be fair, but we're seeing it. I'm noticing it more as I was watching Kane, just kind of keeping an eye on him to see kind of what his mannerisms are like on the sideline, if it's different in between plays, if it's a more relaxed look, if it's a guy who's serious about getting to, you know, this is what I'm here for. I'm here for practice. We're in this, you know what I'm saying? You can see that there's a lackadaisical appearance from some guys at times in practices and stuff like that. You're not seeing that from Deion Kane. I think that he's a special guy, and it's not because he's made a couple big plays like everybody talked about in the past with Duron Carter. It's because when he goes up for a ball, he's going up to catch the ball, knowing where he's at on the field, timing it, being able to turn his body, taking a back shoulder approach to it. He's running his routes hard. Like I said, this guy has it all. He does. He's working hard. He's not coming in here with a lackadaisical approach. He is a guy who wants to be better. He wants to be the best. And I think that you've got a real interesting part with here. There's no reason that this guy shouldn't be able to challenge for the number three wide receiver spot as a rookie. Now, as a rookie, you don't get a guy who comes in and is going to be an all-pro all the time. And I'm not saying that, and that shouldn't be the hype behind him. But the hype should be behind him that his work ethic is there. The guy is, he doesn't act like he belonged or he had already made it like Duron Carter did in my opinion. Deion Kane acts like he's here to be better, that he's here to make himself, you know, the guy, not that he's already the guy. And there's a big difference in that for me. So when looking at it, I think that there's a different approach. There's a different kind of hype around Deion Kane. It's not just what you see on the field. It's just not those hype catches. It's just not those exciting catches that he's making on the sideline. It's what he's doing to be in position to make those catches for me. He's a hard worker, and I never I never personally noticed that from Daron Carter. I just got a completely different vibe from watching his practice, not on a personal level or anything like that. It just wasn't the same, and it isn't the same. And I think Colts fans should be excited about this guy because you're getting that all that entire approach from what he brings to the table. So Deion Kane, as far as I'm concerned, pretty interesting interview, very down-to-earth guy. A guy that you can tell is humble when he's ready to, you know, work his butt off to be a pro and to be a good one. And I think we got lucky with this guy. So just remember, this isn't just the catches that he's making. It's the all-inclusive package that Deion Kane brings right now. And, I mean, he's a coachable guy. He does what he's told. It's just exciting to watch this guy, and he's happy to do it. That's the best part about it. He knows that this is what he wants to do. So we also, like I said, talked to Frank Reich. We talked to Chester Rogers. Reich, again, talks a little bit about Andrew Luck, talks about some of the things that are going on with this and kind of his situation as a brand new coach. I think that Frank Reich runs a really good practice, guys. Like I said, everybody kind of runs up to the line of scrimmage. Everybody's ready. Everybody's willing to go. And, you know, the position coaches himself, they're fiery dudes, especially, you know, Eberflus and Fair, the line coach. These guys want them to achieve or to strive to be perfect. Not that they expect it, because they are just, they're ripping their ass. They're getting into them if something doesn't work out right. But you can see that these two positions, as far as I'm concerned, this linebacker group needs Eberflus's attention. And Eberflus is actually coaching the linebackers through the position drills. So we've got a guy who's involved in both of the critical areas, as far as I'm concerned, for this very season. Young because of the linebackers' inexperience, but the offensive line because the offensive line is so vital to the success of the offense. And I think these are two pretty good coaches for these positions. And I think Frank Reich is running a great practice right now. No time in between horn and next thing. It is run. It's not, you know, do the dance and dive or jump around over here and then get into the drill. These guys are on it. Once the horn sounds to start practice, it's practice. And I think that's going to go a long way towards having these guys prepared as much as they could possibly be. So, I think there's a completely different vibe about awareness in general and situational awareness that you're hearing from a lot of these guys, including the coach. And I think that's something, also as, you know, Stephen Reed had pointed out, this isn't something that you noticed from Pagano coach team at all. So, interesting with Chester Rogers, kind of goes into what his situation was when he was out in California, about getting ready. I asked him about what his role is now, because he's a guy himself who just isn't, he's just not the guy right now with 3 complete years of experience. He's been out, he's had trouble, you know, completing a season, but he's got a young group of receivers underneath him. How does his role change? So talk to him about that. I did get a couple questions in on Deion Kane, wasn't able to on Reich, tried doing it at the last second, and then the PR staff was pulling Frank Reich aside to do something else. So just missed that, but I still intend to get it in at some point. But some good interviews, guys. We're going to play these successfully. We're not going to have any talk at the end or the beginning or anything like that, or in between, I mean. So we're going to go from one to the other, Frank Reich, Chester Rogers, and Deion Kane. So we've got some pretty good interviews for you today. Stay tuned to Stampede Blue for all of your Colts training camp needs and news and analysis. So talk to you guys soon right here on the Colts Cast.
Any idea how Andrew came back today after?
I think he feels good. I mean, the good thing is he's just into this routine of, and it's been a progression of building up in the throw count. So it's very specific as far as what he does afterwards. So it's nothing new. I think it all feels pretty good.
When you looked at Andrew when he was battling shoulder injury compared to now, has he changed the way he's throwing the ball? His mechanics of it, is it any different?
I just think he's gotten more crisp. You know, is that's a word we use every now and then. When things just, you got to have a snap and a crispness to it, you know, because you got to play fast. And so I think when you're rehabbing through an injury, you know, there is a little bit where it's just not quite as crisp. And we've seen that as we've talked to it, we've seen that get better and better. And as good as I thought yesterday was, believe me, I think there's a lot of room to go to get even better. So, but you can see what happens when you get in a competitive situation. All of a sudden, you see an opening on a pass, and you have to get it there, and you have to put a little bit more juice on it, and that's hard to sometimes reenact on air when you're rehabbing, but we saw that a few times yesterday.
What about how he's releasing the ball? The way he's throwing it, is he throwing it any different the way he's releasing it? Or, yeah, I know he worked with the coaches in California. Yeah. Is that any different?
No, there's some little subtle things, but I would say, generally speaking, no. There's some little subtle technique things, you know, but nothing dramatic.
Frank, when we saw him 6 weeks ago, us, you know, in mini camp, what we saw then was very different than what we saw yesterday. So it seems like he's come a long way. You got another 6 weeks to go. Does that give you some perspective on, you just talked about him, you know, having the opportunity to get even better. Does that give you some perspective maybe on where he can be?
Yeah, and I think what happened is, you know, in the spring when we weren't seeing a whole lot, like in my mind, I was kind of projecting what I would – I was feeling pretty good, okay, because what I saw, I felt like I was able to project to what it would look like now. But the main key is just keep getting out on the practice field. You know, the big theme that we keep – I'm going to keep saying it over again, you know, toughness, a relentless pursuit to get better every day, an obsession to finish. And you got to be on the field practicing, and when you're a good player, you find ways to get better, and he's going to get better.
Frank, not to get lost in all this, this was your first practice really yesterday as a head coach. Has anything surprised you about taking that step up to the head coaching position? Is anything?
No,
you know. What's the biggest difference?
Yeah, I mean, well, the biggest difference is, you know, I'm not. Well, even as a coordinator, I kind of tended to stay with the quarterbacks most of the time, and I'll still be with the quarterbacks a lot of the time, and obviously the offense most of the time. But as a head coach, I'll spread myself around a little bit, you know, here and there. And really, some of it is just really paying more attention to special teams, you know, as a head coach, just because there's so much situational football that goes into special teams play and understanding all the rules and everything we're doing there. So I think that's one significant difference.
Frank, when something goes wrong, they go to their coach.
Yeah.
Logistics, I mean, yeah. Practice, whatever. So that's got to take some time away.
There's no doubt. And there was one little thing yesterday when we were starting practice that it was a logistical thing that – that happened right out of the gate that I was like, yeah, I didn't think of that, you know, and we had to make an adjustment, and it was on me, you know, it was a new setup, new place, new position for me, and we made the adjustment and learned from it last night, met on it again, and ironed it out.
What was that thing?
It was just something as simple as, you know, we had Adam kicking, and we had the other team stretching, but because the fields are like this, he would have been kicking into them stretching, you know, and our back home, our fields are adjacent like this, and somehow that I overlooked that detail.
Having kicking the media works better that way.
Well, that's a good consideration.
How does Quentin look, Nelson?
He looks good. I mean, he looks good. I think that, you know, physically I think he's gotten better, in better shape. You know, I think every rookie, especially when you're in his position, you know, you go around, you're doing all this, you just tend to, as much as you want to try to be in your top physical shape, it's hard when you're the sixth pick of the draft or whatever. So I think he came in here in great shape, and I can tell a difference from the spring.
Frank, any update on the tackles, Howard and Anthony?
Yeah, you know, Howard would be fine. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, just a little, you know, just he's a pro. He'll be ready to go. So those guys are kind of day-to-day. Anthony is – you know, Anthony's going to be a little bit longer. You know, we're just being cautious with him and want to make sure he's really ready to go when he steps out in the field.
Frank, how did you get guys to, going back to the first year theme here, what's the key to getting guys to buy in? And, I mean, no matter how good the message, I'm sure humans are naturally skeptical, right, when someone's new.
The biggest factor to getting guys to buy in is get the right guys in the building to start. You know, I learned that a long, long time ago when I was playing in – my coach was Marv Levy, and Bill Polian was the GM. And it was always about get players who want it, you know, get players who want it, who are in it for the right reasons, who it's team first. It's not just about all the things that you get from doing this. It's about accomplishing something together. And so a huge, huge, you can't overstate how important it is to get the right guys in the building if you're trying to set and establish something. It starts with the players. So that's what we tried to do.
Coach, what have you liked about your team's approach to training camp so far, even though there's only been a day?
Yeah. I just think the details, guys, into everything. Understanding that every little detail matters. You know, we talk about, we'll use a phrase every now and then, everything matters. Everything, every little detail, every little meeting. So I just feel like we're focused and on point.
Frankie, you made it clear on the offense in general, up-tempo, spread it around, use everybody. But yesterday you mentioned, and you've got to get the chunk plays. Well, the only guy that consistently got in chunk plays is T.Y. How concerned are you that you've got to develop that from somebody else?
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned about it because I think that's part of our job. I mean, T.Y. has proven over his career he's a vertical chunk play guy. And, I think a lot of what we do in the offense, there's multiple ways to get chunk plays. You'll see us do a lot of stuff schematically where, and we hit one or two of them yesterday, where we hit a little shallow route where the ball's traveling about 10 yards in the air and it's a 25-yard gain based on some things schematically and coverage and the way and the technique in which we teach certain things. So, if we can do that, I think we can expand the guys who get in that big playmaker category.
But again, it's a simple question, but chunk plays, you got to have. You just can't grind.
Yeah,
just
look at the stats. I mean, if you look at the stats, I look at this every year, how hard is it to sustain 10-play drives, and 10, 12, 14-play drives? And we want to do that, and we will do that. But really, the winning formula is chunk plays. I mean, it's consistency, avoid the negative plays, right? Don't turn the ball over, but then you got to have guys that can make those chunk plays and turn, so that it's a 6-7 play drive rather than 14 play drive. Yeah, Deion absolutely has big playability. I mean, we knew that coming in, and it showed up in OTAs and even yesterday in the first practice.
Trying to know the offensive line is fluid because you got guys out, but There's two guys I wanted to ask you about. Muhort, I believe, was playing some tackle. He hasn't done that here in a long time. Is that something you're just evaluating, looking at, or do you think that's something that may, he may do for you? Haig also continuing to take those snaps at center.
Jack, I mean, it's not Jack's primary position, but, Jack's a real pro, smart guy, and some of it was by necessity, mm-hmm. Just with the other guys down. But I think that, if you're primarily – you really – if we're only going to keep 7 offensive linemen active, unless you can snap the ball, you need to play multiple positions. So anybody, you have to do that. So when you have a situation like we do with a couple tackles down, it's a great way and a great opportunity to get a guy out there and get a feel in case that happens.
Chester, you may be one who has some of the greatest perspective in terms of Andrew's development over the past few weeks. What have you seen since your time in California between then and then getting out on the field yesterday?
Just the confidence, coming back. That's a start. He's been out for a while, but just to see the confidence in him and, believing in his arm. So that's pretty much what I've seen.
What was it your idea or his idea for you to go out to Stanford, even though we didn't see a quarterback throwing you the ball in the video?
Well, initially, I went out, like I told you, I went out there for a contract talk with the Warriors, and he just so happened. He just so happened to hit me up. And,
did that fall through, that contract?
No, it fell through, their players.
They took Boogie instead.
Yeah, they took Boogie, but we just linked up and we talked about it, and I mean, I felt like it was a good, 3 days while we was out there.
How much have you maybe seen his velocity grow since then based off what you saw yesterday in the practice field?
Honestly, it's kind of been the same. It was on point from the get-go. I mean, like I said, he's been out for a while. He's been training, so he's been there.
You guys got a squirrely receivers room. It's really young. Mm-hmm. I mean, T.Y., what is it, seventh year? And you're sort of a veteran, too. What's that room like?
We got a lot of versatility. With T.Y., you know how you can play. You know how I play with Ryan, and then you got Deion and the other younger guys. I mean, we got a lot of versatility. Everybody brings something different to the table, so.
Is that you strive to be that number two guy, or what is your mindset going into camp?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not coming here complacent. It's a battle. It's a training camp battle. And I'm gunning for the number two. But, everybody's on the same page.
And the offense is all about the chunk plays. We were talking to Coach about that, getting the ball down the field. You've shown that, haven't you? Do you feel like you can be a big play guy?
Definitely. I mean, I feel like I bring that to the table, playmaking, get the ball in my hand. But pretty much whatever they need me to do, that's what I'm here for.
Do you feel like you haven't been able to tap your full potential yet because – unfortunately, you've been kind of snake-bitten with the injuries last year in training camp. I think you got dinged up for a little bit in OTAs. Do you feel like there's just still more to show?
Of course. I haven't even got close to my potential. I feel like, lot like you said, with the injuries and everything, I got a lot of things to prove. I ain't got nowhere close to it.
Do you? I remember when you came in the start of the offseason, you were talking about the difference you noticed in the building and all, and how things were running. What was it about Coach Reich from day one that, if this happened, what was it that sold you? How did he sell you?
I mean, Coach Wright, like his energy, and you know, you could tell that he was genuine and how much he cared about us already, and that he wanted to come here and win. It's not like we're, you know, building for years on. Of course we are, but he's coming to win right now. And I mean, once he sold us that, everybody was locked in.
Yeah. And this now that you've gotten to know him a little bit, and he's an offensive guy, obviously, so you spend a little more time with him. What has stood out just about, you know, the way you played for various head coaches at different levels? You know, what's unique about him?
Of course, with him and Nick on the court, the coordinator, bringing both of their minds together, just what they bring to the table and their offenses, you can see how they break everything down. They got to answer for everything that the defense brings. So to know that you got coaches like that is going to dial it up, I'm excited, you know, just to play under.
Have you become a smarter football player this offseason?
Of course, you got to be on your, you know, P's and Q's with coaches like this, because they're giving you so much ability to, you know, room to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to be on.
Okay. Chester, what was the main goal of the work in California that you wanted to get done?
Well, like I said, I was one, you know, he had just started throwing to a moving target. So just to get the chemistry back, you know, I played 1 year with him. But just to get back on the same page and get back throwing.
Do you feel that chemistry is there? Or is it something that needs to grow?
Yeah, I mean, we still got a lot of stuff to work on, you know. But I feel like we do have the chemistry.
With such a young roster, you obviously going to need some of the rookies to come up and contribute pretty quickly. Has Deion Kane shown you some things that he might be a guy who can possibly do that?
Most definitely. I think everybody saw that yesterday when he went up for the deep ball. I mean, that's something that defense has got to respect. So, Deion bring that in, it definitely helps.
Aside from on the field, how do you see your role with this new young group? Has it changed from last year?
Yeah, I got to be more vocal. I got to help, you know, T.Y. is the oldest, but I'm also a leader. So, I got to, you know, tap into that, my part of my game.
Spent some time this summer with Randy Moss. What was that experience like?
Great experience. Back home in Tampa, Florida, where I'm normally born and raised, he came down to train me and some of the other guys. It was a blessing that, you know, he's around. I learned a lot from him, from a future Hall of Famer, and we put a good week work in, and I learned a lot from him.
What were some of the things you were trying to pick up when you went to do that?
Mostly just to learn how to, like, you know, attack DB's leverages, learn how to run certain routes and different coverages, and you know, just really learn more about the NFL and learn how to be a pro. Just a little bit, mostly things about football, but also he taught me things about, like, learning how to be a pro, showing up in meetings, and, you know, learn how to approach different things and stuff like that. So it's more than just on the football side, but I learned a lot just from him.
Deion, how did that come about? How did you get
him? Mostly because my trainer that I normally play with, Randy Moss, okay, and he's been around with me for a long time since, like, growing up and stuff like that. So we always kept in touch, and then he just wanted, you know, now I got drafted and stuff, he wanted, you know, enforce me on how to be a pro and actually learn how to attack this league. So,
okay. How would you assess your first, I guess you only had one practice, but going to get back to the OTAs and the minicamp, how would you assess your start?
I mean, as of right now, I think this is a good start right now. And I'm just really just trying to stay consistent at this point. Just keep on working from here. I like my role right now as I am right now, and I just really want to be a fit for this team, and so we can win a lot of ball games around here.
What was your reaction when first time Randy said he wanted to work with you?
I mean, it was a blessing. Cause at the end of the day, everybody looks up to Randy Moss. Who don't want to, you know, work with one of the best receivers in the game? So and I learned a lot from him, and just for him giving us his time and teaching me that the game is just a blessing for me and my family.
When did he ask you to work out? I'm sorry. When did he? At one point, did you start working out with him?
I think this was, I want to say, the beginning of July, and I kind of scheduled this, like, way in March, just because once I finished everything, I knew who I wanted to work with in order to, you know, so I could be ready for training camp and all that stuff. Because, I mean, plus there's other great receivers out, but, you know, Randy Moss is probably one of my favorites, and I thought he would be the best one.
He was so good at using his size, and that's something we saw you do yesterday and through OTAs. How big a part of that is it in your game?
I guess that's very big in part of my game, because, I mean, I'm 6'1", maybe I'm not the biggest, but I got to use my size to, you know, separate from defenders. And he taught me a lot throughout the time training with him, where to put my hands, how to use my body against different things. And I think that's going to help me out just through my career and just as a player. So I just feel like if I just keep on working on those little things, it'll be even better.
Was it you guys just one-on-one, or were you in a group setting?
Most of the time it was group settings, but, I mean, he does, like, certain things one-on-ones and after hours doing extra work with him and stuff like that. So just really trying to put that time in with him.
If there's one takeaway with him, that you want to use, only one, what would you say would it be?
When the ball's in the air, it's just you and the ball. I could say this one thing is that, because just going back from off, just like, I always just be try to, like, when I go in deep balls and situations and stuff like that, I always just try to think about too much. Now I just got to just focus in on just one thing. So I just try to just take in and try to put it all in one and just go and attack that ball.
Do you believe it's working? Even during OTAs, there were a couple of times we saw where, especially in the back of the end zone, where you just snag balls.
It's just after repetition. The more I keep repping and the more I keep doing, the more I get used to it. And like I said, as my reps increase in practice, the more I keep doing, the more you guys will see. Because at the end of the day, I'm putting in the work, and it's going to show it more on the field.
Was your work with Randy more about body control as far as in the catch, at the catch point, or was it involve a lot of the intricacies in route running as well?
It's really all in three. Like, he was teaching me all of it at once, and it's a blessing because he was able to do that. And some of the stuff already, you know, I'm capable of doing, he just enhanced it 10 times more. So I'm actually happy about that, and it helped me out. So I think it would be good for me.
Deion, for you to earn playing time this year, what do you think is the biggest hurdle maybe that you have to clear to make sure that this coaching staff can trust you?
Really to earn respect from my teammates. And that starts from the practice, that starts from the meeting rooms, that starts from eating, all that stuff. Just really approach everything as a pro. And I want to earn my respect around here from the teammates, the coaches, the staff, everybody that I'm a good player on and off the field. I'm going to do my time on the field. I'm going to go hard, all that stuff. So it's going to take time, but just take it day by day.
Well, you took exception to being drafted in the sixth round. When you met with teams, what do you think their doubts were about you? And do you feel like whatever those are, have you addressed them, you feel like?
Really, I just – doubts are – everybody's going to have doubts about a typical player. But at the end of the day, all I can do is be me, and they just gonna have to get a feel out for them myself. Anybody can – I mean, could just say what they have. But I want everybody to know me just for myself. I'm always be honest anything to anyone. So I try to be open. I try to be honest. Try to, you know, let everyone know who I am. And if they don't get a feel for it, then I can't do nothing about it. As long as I gave my 100%, that's all I can just – approach to everyone.
What lesson did you learn from what happened at Clemson?
Mostly just put your goals in front of you. Think first before you knew anything, and it helped me mature over, you know, in life and just be a man, and help me just like emerge into be that guy for my family and for myself. So it really taught me a lot. Like I can say, I can go back and back and back, but it taught me a lot, and I'm just trying to just move on forward from here.
You went to Clemson as a quarterback. Are you still young as a receiver? Are you still raw?
I could just say I'm still a little raw, but I mean, I'm up and coming though, because I put in the work and I know like I had to make that transition, but at the end of the day, I know what I'm here for, and I'm an excel at it.
Are there things from playing quarterback now that you can use on, you see the field differently, obviously, like that? Can you use some of that?
Certain receiver things, like just knowing coverages, know where to be at in certain spots, because, you know, I played a quarterback. I know where receivers are supposed to be at, certain things like that. So I try to help the quarterback out certain times. Yeah, I'm going to be here at this time, you know. So it actually is a good thing for me because I played that side of the ball too. So I understand where the quarterbacks are from, and that actually helped me to make my timing better and be on efficient on routes and stuff.
Compared to like T.Y. and Chester, obviously you're a little taller than those guys. Do you feel like you bring a unique skill set that can complement and maybe earn yourself some playing time?
Most definitely. I mean, those guys, Chester and T.Y., those guys are amazing just to be at that, you know, that size and what they're capable of doing. But just coming from where I came from and playing in the boundary and all that type of stuff, being a bigger receiver with speed and stuff like that, I see that as a plus in the offense because you got a bigger guy that's not, you know, really small and shifty and stuff, but he can make separation against those big corners now. As the corners in the league are now transitioned to like 6'2", 6'3", you can have a boundary receiver the same size as those that go and attack that and open up more space for T.Y., Chester, Eric Ebron, Jack Doyle, those guys to get open. So
how important do you feel it is for you to be able to run the entire route tree, short, intermediate game, to be able to also to open it up?
I think that's
deep?
Very important. I mean, in order to be that guy receiver, you should always be, you know, able to run multiple different routes. You want to put me in the backfield, I can run a swing route or something like that. Either way, you just want to be a good asset for the team so your team can know they could put you anywhere and they could trust you anywhere too.
And it feels like in Coach Reich's offense, that's important too, because it doesn't feel like guys have really specific roles. Everybody has to do everything. Is that true?
Mostly that's just how it is, how they're trying to put everybody in different roles. But at the end of the day, whatever they give you, they just want you to execute that. And I'm pretty sure they feel that you're going to help us at this team in the best way. So, and I feel like my role right now is probably like one of the best, and all the other guys, rookies, vets, all that stuff, how we're moving around. I'm loving everything right now in this offense.
They've been looking for someone who kind of makes some tough plays, take some of that pressure off T.Y. Are you that guy?
It could be anybody, really. If it's my number call, I'm going to make that play. If anybody else, at the end of the day, I think we got the guys in the room, from the starters to backups, for guys to make those tough plays. Let's air it out. Fire out. Let's air it out. Yeah. Stampede Blue.